Good evening to everyone, and I'm sorry I had to go off. My phone was acting up once again. Hopefully it's fixed now. It's showing that it's okay. I hate to try to talk to you when I'm sideways or upside down. So this evening, this morning, and middle of the night for others, but we're going to continue a little bit of where we were at, and I titled this A Journey Through Consciousness from Oneness to Unity. And when we do this, as we go through, I hope to be able to help you understand the difference somewhat between oneness and unity. There is a difference, and I hope that you can see and understand that. And I wanted to talk, I put out a little chart on the zodiac just maybe an hour ago, and I really liked it, and I put it out for everyone to peruse it and take a look at it. But it has so many different patterns in it that you could go by. Like, for instance, Brother Branham used a pattern that where it started out in Virgo, which you can see Virgo there. And then, of course, the sun moves retrograde backwards, so it goes back through all the way around through Capricorn, on around through all the different ones, Pisces, and it ends up in Leo. And Leo is Christ, Leo the lion, who was born into the earth. So Brother Branham kind of used that pattern. Now, for me and for creation and for all those things, I wanted to use the pattern. If you look at it and look straight at the top of that, when you go on and you take a look at it, you've got Sagittarius as the house that everything starts in, and that's where Sagittarius is, I think. It's the thought of God, of the Spirit, and that's where it starts out at, and then it moves from, I think, to it keeps moving down the line and moving through all the characters until it comes all the way back around, and you can see where the Aquarius is the 11th house, and that's where we're at. And we spend about 2,150 years there, and we move on to Capricorn for another 2,165 years before we have made a complete rotation around the zodiac. Now, when you think about the Earth, I do want to say this. When you think about the Earth being 4.6 billion years old, science has proved through the rotation of the universe, the creation of the universe, all the things, all the stars that have exploded and stars that have went out and stars that have come in. It's about 4.6 billion years old. So you can add up each time the zodiac makes a complete cycle is every 26,000 years. So, I mean, we're talking about our cycle. We're talking about generations and creations and things back beyond us for millions of years that went through different cycles and no doubt found out more and more and more. And as we travel through a cycle, the reason we go through cycles is so we can come back through and learn that much more about something. So I wanted to take just a few minutes and introduce that to you, because we're going to talk about some of those patterns and bring it into the consciousness and the subconsciousness, and how that as we go through a pattern, it becomes memory and experience, which is logged in our subconscious. And so I wanted to take just a quick look also while I've got people still that are coming on. And that is in the earth today. And I've seen it, how the Spirit moves. And depending on nations and individuals, on the choices you make, the Spirit will move either with the four horsemen of the white, the red, the black and the pale, or he'll move with these four horsemen, if you want to call them that, which is justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the full word. Brother Branham used that in the restoration of the bride tree. So the Lord, the Spirit either takes a people down one path, depending on how they choose, or they take them down another path, depending on how they choose. And if they choose a path where they are glorifying evil, so to speak, then they go down that path of the four horsemen, and it ends up in a death. It ends up to where that, as I said in one place, I said the present hate that's going on so much in the earth, it doesn't have any stamina. It doesn't hold any strength. It doesn't hold any principle. It doesn't hold anything in it that's going to make it last very long. It just falls apart. And there are many men who are talking about it, from Ben Shapiro to Jordan Peterson to Jonathan Kahn, and right on down the line. There's so many men that are talking about it and showing how that this path has no stamina in it. And you can't just continue sacrificing children. You can't just continue refusing to protect and to serve and to love. And everything in earth is supposed to have a nature about it that you protect, serve, and love one another. And it seems like that's going away. Well, it's not. Believe me, it's not. It's just a moment where that we're watching what one person called. He said when the nation of America, and that's what he used, and I look at the nation of America as the beginning of the Aquarian Age, because the Aquarian Age from Pisces, there's about a 400-year cusp there from somewhere around 1776 to 1976 is 200 years, and on out to 2076 and 2176, that's about a 400-year cusp in there. And Aquarius, America came in at about that time. It's the great nation that came in about that time and began to flourish and rise. And it's not because I live here, but I've traveled all over the world and I've seen it all. And this is a blessed place. And so, but possession is the thing. If you want to be possessed by the Spirit, it will take you down the path of justification, sanctification, restoration of gifts and blessings and all these things. And then it moves you on out into the full word, a full understanding, a full fullness of time, the fullness of everything. It brings Christ onto the scene. If you want to possess that as a nation, then you listen to the Spirit. As a person, as an individual, you listen to the Spirit. Or if you don't want that to possess you, like Jesus said, he that's not for me is against me. There's nothing that's neutral. He said, he that's not for me is against me. So you begin to be possessed by something, a different path. The white, the red, the black, and the pale horse. And that possessor takes over, and there goes a nation right down that path, or there goes an individual right down that path, because they chose what they wanted to be possessed with. And that's what made many nations, England, United States, Canada, many of these great nations that are out here today, they started out with, I'm just going to say it, they started out with geniuses that built their kingdom. And then as it went on, people begin to take it over that didn't want that possession of the Spirit. And then they start heading down this path that we see they're headed on. And then it becomes an enchanter. The second stage of that is enchantment. Remember in the book of Daniel, he said when he couldn't take it over by force, what did he take it over by? Flattery. So when the Lord moves something in, something evil in because of what you have chosen to possess you, and it doesn't seem to move you, then after that force is tried and you won't be forced with anything, then the next thing that comes is flattery. An enchanter. And that's what happens. And look at what they're doing. They're trying to do everything across the world that they can to flatter you, to move you into. No constitution, no Declaration of Independence, no government that stands on its own, global government. They're trying to move you into all of these things. United Nations rules, on and on and on. They're trying to move you into all these things that flatter you into thinking it's a better way. But when you listen to the men who have studied it and paid attention to it, including myself, you'll find out that it is a worse way. And it's not going to save the earth. Like they're trying to say, we got to go this green way to save. It's not going to save anything. It's going to make it worse, because all of these things that we're doing is allowing evil to continue forward. We have to turn around and say, I don't want to be possessed by that any longer. You can turn that path around. So then after that happens, if you don't turn it around, then of course the destroyer comes. And the destroyer is that last stage. And it is a pale horse, and he who rides on it is death. And you see these whole nations, groups of people, races, and everything right down the line. You see them toppling. You see them falling. You see them going into much evil because they did not want the Holy Spirit to possess them. They didn't want to let it rule them. They wanted to be enchanted with things that they could have without the Spirit. And then last of all comes the destroyer. So I want to read this and we'll get started here. Brother Branham makes a statement, William Marion Branham. He says, if Christ is in the heart, then no matter how much you disagree with a man, I like this, you still got love for him and respect. I disagree with many men, many times, but still I have never seen one yet that I disagreed with that I ever thought of any more than put my arm around him and call him my brother. Tried to help him the best I could. We should never get angry or want to hurt or destroy anything. We should always be trying to build up. Me and my wife, we disagree. Sure, we do. But down in my heart, I still love her. And I like that, what Brother Branham said. It's so true that we should come to that point in our lives to where when we're working with men and women, I liked a little bit of what Brother Clement Alunga said. If you find that post out there, I think I have it right here. But he was talking about that post where I put out about Brother Branham. And Clement Alunga said, the message that this book, these books that we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church and his work in the future ages. Then I mentioned that takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, or we will fail to get it. You have to have something in you that you have given into and let it possess you, that Holy Spirit, your human spirit, coming to a spiritual man. You have to give into that understanding and let it possess you. And he says, bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking to make this book real. It is going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people, a book being a life. And that life inside you is revealed to you. And when you see it, you see that life in you and you know it's you that's living it out, It does. It's a special class of people. You don't find that all over the world. You don't find that in masses. You find it, it's rare, precious, but rare. And he goes on, he says, that means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. It will take one with prophetic insight. It will require the ability to hear from God. It will require supernatural instruction, not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that is good, but a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never becomes clear. Get that in your mind. A mystery requires the teaching of a spirit, or it will never get clear to you. You'll always have questions and wondering exactly what's going on and why this happened over here and why this happened over here. And it seems like if the Almighty Spirit was as strong as everyone says it is and as the scripture proclaims him to be, how could he let this over here happen? You've got to have something inside of you that is making these things very clear to you, or you won't understand them. So he goes on, it will require the ability to hear from the Spirit. It will require supernatural instruction, not just a student comparing verse to verse, though that is good, but a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never becomes clear. How we need to hear from the Spirit and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit and to hear Him speak. When something in you, when you open that thing up and you allow it to talk with you and you allow it to take over, you allow it to handle your environment, you allow all these things and you discuss with Him. You know, a lot of people, they say, well, human beings, you know, they're crazy if they talk to themselves. No, you're probably the most sane person around if you talk to yourself, because you need to talk to yourself and keep that avenue open, because there is a dual nature about you. And that dual nature, it's one nature, but it is taken down a path of death, or it's taken down a path of life. And many times you're kind of going back and forth between the two. And so it has to speak with you. It has to talk with you. Now I want to read, we're talking about a journey through consciousness from oneness to unity. Now I want to read this scripture that Paul is talking about. And he says, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. We're going to talk about this in just a second. I want to read it. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to feast, so if you're invited to a feast, to unbelievers, those that just don't have the understanding you have, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question, for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for the sake of he that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So Paul tells you, if they invited you somewhere and then they begin to sacrifice the idols and eat things sacrificed to idols, don't partake in it, in so much as eating, sacrificing unto idols. And then he goes on, he says, he's talking about consciousness. Three times he talks about conscience. And then he comes back in the 29th verse, and he says, conscience, I say, not thine own, You understand that? Paul's not talking about your conscience. You have a clear conscience. All things are pure unto you. But he says, conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? In other words, in his conscience, where you were invited to and to listen to, he is actually feeding you things to get you to participate under idols and sacrifices that you shouldn't be participating in. So Paul says it's not that your conscience would feel bad about it, but you want to be able to tweak his conscience just a little bit, or whoever it might be, to where that they say, I wonder what's going on here. And so then he goes on and he says, now, for I by grace, for if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? So he says, the grace of God allows me to give thanks for all things. And if I feel and want to eat it, I can. And if I don't want to eat it, I don't. And I'll tell you that the difference is going to be whether or not it's being sacrificed unto idols, or being a scripture of the past, or a food of the past, or something from Luther's day or Wesley's day. I just if you bring that in idol worship to me, I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to tell you, you know what? That's really great. I'm glad you're where you're at, but here's where I'm at, and I want to help you a little bit. So he goes on here and he says, now, for if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Give none offense, neither to Jew nor Greeks, nor the church of God. So what Paul is saying here is, don't make a big deal of it. If someone comes to you and they offer you something under the past, or under idol worship, and you know, you make a big deal out of it and say you're going to hell and you're doing this and you're doing that, and the Lord's never going to bless you, and as long as you're doing that, I don't want to. That's not going to do anybody any good. Just kind of say to them, you know, for me, I don't do that. And don't make such a big deal to where it causes an offense. Give none offense neither to Jews nor to Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit. So he's not doing it to try to gain a following. He's not doing it to try to gain money. He's not doing it to try to gain anything. What he's doing, he's saying, now, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now, reading it like that, it's, you know, when you read it, you think about, okay, I got invited to a meal, and I don't know whether I want to eat it or not, and I'll make that decision. But Paul is going much deeper than that. He's talking about your conscience, and how you work your conscience, and how you work the people around you with your conscience, and how you are able to live with yourself in a clean conscience, but at the same time know that others aren't there, and know how to work with them without causing offense, coming to unity even though there are differences. And you know that's where we're at right now, and that's what I'm trying to teach, is oneness brings you an understanding. We came to oneness. But I'm just going to tell you, there in the Third Testament, there was still a little bit of that elite. I know more than you. I'm beyond where you're at. If you're not there, then you need to step up. And when you come from that oneness and you move a little bit further, you begin to say, you know what? I love you. This is where I'm at. And where you're at, love bless you, but stay together in unity so that they can always think back and say, you know what, even though I disagreed with him or her, they came across so well. Their spirit was right. That means everything, to keep your spirit and your conscience clean and keep it right. Now, I'm going to read this to you the way that Don Parnell, a Tory, would write it. Things are lawful for me, but all things, because some things edify one another. Clear. I can do I want. All things, but all things aren't expedient, because to some it causes offense. That's what's written here. All for me, but all things, because some things do I. Any gift in life, whether it's a career in human resources, or a CEO, manager, or a pastor, or prophet might be, no matter what your gift is, or prophecy else, what you're bringing is not edifying, is not very, even bring it forth. That's probably going to, you know, if they start thinking about, is this go body? Is the body further? Mind? Is it even necessary? When you start use that gift so much that we have been using it, turn that thing around with clear conscience. Cause, so listen on here. All things are lawful, but all things are, some things do. Don't seek in this, but seek the glory. In other words, if you're going gift of human manager, gift of CEO, or whatever it might be, spiritual or whatever, when you use that gift, don't your own glory. Use it for the glory when you know it's to rise, when you can call good, when you can open up to something greater. That when anything is written, you and that's why anybody to judge my conscience. Use that, hey, there, when it comes that way, maybe I should say, pay attention. Any gift anywhere, it edifies, glorifies, and them up. It's not to tear. World in shambles. One buys, they might buy the loser, even that. They might buy the mess stacked after service. William Branham said, I remember one bulls. Even if it's against the law, even if it's against the Pentecost or anybody else, against eyes, even if it's Moses, when you choose to go, it doesn't mean you have to eat every little thing, but at least if you decide to go, don't decide to go to cause an uproar. If I'm talking to a Pentecostal man, a Pentecostal denomination, Trinitarian or oneness or whatever, I'm not going to sit there and try to bury him with quotes of William Branham or of Don Parnell or of the Bible, which I've studied it since I was an 8-year-old boy. I could do it easily, but that's not the right way to do things. So we see this now. Don't seek these things. If you are invited to a feast and decide to go, don't question the host. Eat what is given you for their conscience sake. For their conscience sake. Your conscience will stay clean. If the food you're presented is given a sacrifice to idols, in other words, if they're telling you that the only way that you can go in is through this Muslim religion or through this Hindu religion or through Christianity, and you have to eat this, you have to be baptized over here, you have to take the principles of the Torah, you have to take, and you start hearing those things, Paul says, and I say, you don't have to eat of that. You can be cordial, you can be loving, you can be all sorts of things, but you don't have to eat of that. And he goes on, he says, if you're invited to the feast, don't question the host. Eat the food presented to you. Unless it's sacrificed to idols, don't eat it. We don't sacrifice to idols, as it goes against our conscience. I can't consciously eat something that somebody is feeding me that goes to an idol of some other age somewhere. I just consciously can't do it. But I'm not going to make a fence over it. I'm just not going to eat it. And so we see this. Now he goes on, he says, or I said, when I rewrote it, said, when I speak of conscience, it's not ours, but theirs. You're always thinking of their conscience. For we have a clean conscience. My liberty is not judged from another conscience other than my own. I know when I'm doing something that I need to be doing, and I know when I need to back off. So he goes on here. Grace gives me the liberty to give thanks for the earth and its fullness, the Lord's. Grace gives me the liberty to eat anything I want and to do anything I want, to say anything I want. But if I sat here this evening and just kept throwing out curse word after curse word after curse word at you and kept calling you prostitutes and everything else and all the dirty names and how you're illegitimate except using all the dirty names, you wouldn't stick around long, would you? Because it wouldn't be edifying. And that's what Paul says, grace gives me liberty to do anything I want to do. But listen, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And it's even though I have that liberty, it is not edifying and it's not expedient to do those things. You say, bring it down home, Brother Parnell. If a man goes out here and he goes out here naked with a pair of underwear on and that's all he's got on and he walks down the street, well, okay, but it's not expedient and it's not edifying. If a man goes out here and he's got all those tight clothes on, if a woman goes out here and she's all tight in her blouse and her breeches and whatever she's wearing, it's not very edifying. You got people looking at you all over the world and they're saying, what's this? I have the grace. It's not going to take me to hell. Well, in a way it does. It takes you to hell in your mind. But I have the grace to do it. I have the grace to go out there any way I want. But I have also something in me called the Holy Spirit, and it's me, and I know it's not edifying, and it's not expedient to do those things when you go out here. So keep that in mind. I'm not talking about it. People keep writing me, why don't you put out a book of principles and the things that are in Love Divine? And no. Paul said in the second chapter of Corinthians that the Gentiles have within them the Spirit, the law within themselves. We don't have to put a book out. We don't have to have 5,000 some laws of Moses or 2,000 some laws of Don Parnell or a Tory or Joe Gomez or anybody. We don't have to have that among us. What we need is to tap into that thing on the inside of us that edifies us and travels us through from that journey in consciousness to oneness, coming to one understanding, and then move on into unity where we can still love and behold and enjoy the world, the family, and everyone around us. So we see this. Now, I want to read just a little bit further. Grace gives me the liberty to give thanks for the earth and its fullness in the Lord. Wherefore, whatever you do, eat or drink, do it for the glory of the Spirit. If you find it is not edifying or giving glory to the Spirit or to one another, just move on. And you don't have to get up and say, I don't believe that. I'm moving on. You just listen and you put what you see out and then you go your way. And you hope that what you put out is a little better to eat than what they put out. Maybe they'll find a recipe from you and they'll fix a little better meal the next time. Now, he says, no matter what you decide to do in any situation, this is me taking Paul's writing and just rewriting it. No matter what you decide to do in any situation, don't make it an offense in any group, race, or individuals. And that's all there is to it. If you see things that you know you don't want to partake of, don't make a big offense of it. And there's nothing wrong with saying what you see and what you want. There's not a thing wrong with that. What you would rather desire to take place in politics or religion or economics. And you hear me talk about politics and religion and economics and all these things. I'm always going to put out what my desire is for those things. And if there's a man or an administration or a government or a state government or whatever, a woman or whoever, that is not putting out that desire and not edifying the body and the nation, you might hear me say something about it, because I want to make sure they understand that even though I will serve and I will do the things I need to do, at the same time, I totally disagree. We should be able to totally disagree, I just read it to you, and still put our arms around one another and call one another brother and sister and keep walking. Now, it's my desire to please everyone in all things. Paul said, I please everyone in all things. And not to profit for myself in so doing, but for others that they might come to the same understanding, or they might be saved, Paul said. That's what I'm doing it for. That's what I'm putting things out for, hoping that others will come to this understanding, others will come to be saved, will be brought into a greater light, and be edifying for that person or group or race or nation or whoever it might be. That's what this is about. That is the trip through consciousness. When you are in your conscience and you are experiencing things, your conscience is immediately feeding the subconscious and building a character and a person in that subconscious. And sooner or later, that subconscious is going to become so much greater than your consciousness that you will move from this flesh, this conscious world, into the subconscious. And the subconscious will take over, and you'll be in the subconscious. And for some of us, that's happening right here now. I think Brother Clement Ilunga, when I said there are, I want to read this. You only have two moves, love or hate. It may not seem so in the beginning, but it will end that way. And Clement Ilunga came back. I really like what he said. I made that statement just to try to jar people's mind. What way am I going? Am I feeling myself full of love or full of hate? What's going on? So he writes back, are these two groups saved? Let me make that just a little bit more sensible to you and say, I don't know. I wouldn't know. That's William Branham talking himself. I don't know if these two groups are saved. Now, he goes on, he says, during the time of the bride's prophet, he had no clear answer regarding the two moves under the framework of humanity. However, in the present time, there are people with the Joseph spirit of revelation. We have a better understanding. Now, don't let that bother you too bad. William Branham said, I can't see past 1977, and I'm sitting in 2023. Don't you think that I don't have a better understanding of many things that he had, because he spent his life in the church ages, in the Laodicean age. And it was only a couple of years into the opening of those seals until he went home. So there's many things that you're going to find that he didn't have the depth of understanding for. But he goes on to say, or Brother Clement Ilunga goes on, there are people with the Joseph spirit of revelation. We have a better understanding. We know that both moves are vibrations of the spirit. It's not two spirits. Love or hate, it's vibrations of the spirit. You say, well, the spirit can't hate. Have you ever read Romans 9 chapter? Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. Is that what he said? The Spirit has both attributes. It has both dimensional qualities about it. To move into a hate relationship or to move into a love relationship. And he goes on here. We know that both moves are vibrations of the Spirit. And hate is really love being disguised as hate. It's the Lord, through his wisdom, uses the same mutual material like a lump of clay to constantly unfold the revelation of who you are. You remember some time back, I made the statement, I said, every action, every single action in life comes from love. I got a lot of kickback on that. And you say, I got people that said, well, what about Hitler? What about Mussolini? What about Alexander the Great? What about Genghis Khan? What about Joe Biden? What about, I got all kinds of questions. What about John Kennedy? And what about William Branham? And there was tons of people that wrote me and said, I don't know about that. Hitler, listen to me, he done what he done in love for his country. He had grown up under the Lutheran doctrines, and Luther was very clear. Like I said, you can't bring that Lutheran doctrine over here. It won't work. It's a doctrine of hate. He said the Jews are antichrist and need to be extinguished. And here's Hitler, 200, 300 years later, he's just doing what his prophet in Germany told him to do. Like I said, I can take your prophet in the Laodicean age and tell you to go back to the assembly of God. So it's not going to help you, is it? Well, that's what, but Hitler was moving out of love. Mussolini moving out of love. Every one of them, you just take a look at it, even though it might not have been the expedient way to go, even though it might not have been the edifying way to go, World War I, World War II, all of these things was all motivated out of the original spirit of love. Then it takes on a perversion, and it takes on profit, it takes on gain, it takes on greed, it takes on creed, it takes on doctrine, it takes on everything under the sun, antichrist spirit, beast, images, it takes on everything under the sun, and it begins to move out there, and you say to yourself, that is a horrible spirit. That's the spirit of the devil. God wouldn't do something like that. Well, that's where it started. Everything comes out of the Spirit of the Lord, and God is love. Might upset you. Maybe you should reread your Bible. William Branham said, if you don't see Christ, if you don't see Christ in every scripture, go back and read it again. You missed it. Well, isn't that hard to believe? When I read scriptures about Ahab and Jezebel, and I read scriptures about King Herod and Pilate, and I read scriptures about those that crucified him, and I read, on and on and on, and I read these scriptures, and I think, what? I read scriptures where they stoned Stephen. I read scriptures where, do I see Christ in that? I do now. I used to not see Christ in it, but I see every move, everything that's happening in the Bible, in your personal life, and in the present right now, is Christ. Christ is moving all things. Now, this person wrote and said, energy is our language, and it speaks vibrations. How you value and take care of your energy is how you set in tune your frequency to your current reality. That is so true. Let me read that again. Take care of your energy. It is how you set in tune your frequency to your current reality. Past and future are illusions. It is always presence. I can say what we contribute in our inner work is what we give out to humanity. We are part of the masses. One to yourself makes you one to every life that you meet and manifest in this reality. So everything that you are doing is coming from an inner work and flowing out of you. It is all Christ. And the way that you set your vibrations and pay attention to your energy is the way that you will build that environment all around you. Moving from conscious to subconscious all the time. Puri Grejo, she said, this is a huge leap to our understanding. And when you make this leap, you will discover that there is more unending and bending reality. There's more bending than unending realities of Christ. So we see that what she's saying is, the further we go in this, the more we realize that all things, nothing is linear. Everything is cycled. Everything is circular. So we see that now Joe Gomez, on the same thought. So when William Branham said that the Bible is a book of symbols, that we understand that those symbols connect with us in frequency and vibration for our day. That is quantum string theory. That is a quantum leap into the present. That connects everything together throughout the web of life, throughout the web of the universe, throughout the magnetic web, the electrical web, throughout the entire earth. So he says, in the same way, we will someday stand as symbols and connect to generations to come in a frequency and a vibration. That is absolutely the truth. When they read my thoughts, when they listen to my video, however it may come out then, they can probably just kind of have a chip on the inside and just open it up and watch it on a wall instead of having all these things we have today. I can see so many things they're headed for. And however they watch and see, yes, we will be frequencies and vibration and symbols to them to help them move on further in the generations to come. And they will go so far past us, and they will go so far into more truths that many of what we are talking about today, many things will be half-truths or will just be done away with altogether because they are so much further along in what they are understanding. That's just the spirit. That's eternity. As you know, in the fullness of time, all of them from Paul all the way up to William Branham were all caught up in the fullness of time in Ephesians 1 and 10 and down through there. They were all caught up. They all came to the same understanding. But coming down through the ages, they didn't have that. They were progressing slowly. And it's the same way it'll be when you get past we just got past the Piscean age. We got past all those things, and we are rebuilding another 2,000 years. And as we rebuild this 2,000 years and we go out through it, I see us as maybe the first. I see us as the first of the building. We're the foundation. We're the things that are stepping into a new day. 1963 opened the seals, and we are stepping into a brand new day, and we are, like Paul, building that first age, which will be built upon by others down through the generations, and we will be looked at, and our teachings will be looked at in many ways that manner, and people will continue to build and go through all those steps. It might not be seven, I don't know how many it'll be. The Lord knows the number already. The Spirit is already working on it. It knows how long it's going to be. It knows all those things about it. But we are working on the very first part of a brand new world, a new heaven, a new earth, and a new creation. We're working on it right now. I could say with all certainty, good morning, Paul. You are all Paul working on a brand new day, taking us into a brand new time. So Joe Gomez makes that statement, in the same way we will someday stand as symbols and connect to generations to come in frequency and vibration. Thank you for sharing. Then another a sister says, I remember the prophet saying, in whatever situation there is, somebody somewhere in the Bible who was in a similar situation and got results. Vibrate at the same frequency and you will get the results. That is so true. We need to pay attention to the patterns. Remember what I said at the start? I'm going to look at some patterns that we are starting in and building, and it's so real. Our spiritual understanding originates from our subconscious minds. I agree. It is the mind we had before becoming conscious. You become conscious by stepping into the flesh body. And the mind of the subconscious is that that we hold within us. When we have this dimension, we go with the subconscious minds. The mind of experience will then become subconscious. So as you experience and as you go through things and as you learn things, it's immediately transforming all of that memory, all of that understanding, is transforming it into your subconscious being, so that your subconscious, which one time only had logic, now has understanding, and is transforming all of these things into your subconscious. Now they go on here. Now, however, those to whom the subconscious mind, the spiritual understanding, is opened will have both experiences here and now. Absolutely true. I can tell you now, every day I go through the general experiences and I am constantly flipping that into the revelation and putting it into my subconscious. As that was a real gift. That was a real move for me. That helped me more than anything. That even though that person or thing or what I read from another person might not ever know it. It helped me and it took me deeper into my subconscious. It opens it up. We many of us that have understanding are moving through both at the same time, consciousness building the subconscious and the subconscious teaching us through what we've built. Now, they live as angels here and use the power of angels here and now. That's right. We are human. And according to Matthew 21, 22, we are angels. And we are using both. They travel the dimensions of conscious and subconscious. It's what it is. It's just dimensions. And I'm traveling in and out of them all the time. And many times, many days, I know that I'm in the subconscious much more. I'm in the visionary much more than I am in the conscious world. And I know that. Now, they travel through the dimensions of conscious and subconscious. What if they decide to always live by the subconscious? It's a good question. What if they decide to live only by the subconscious, driven by intuition? It can only be a matter of choice before they can depart from this conscious dimension. We watch them by the hundreds every day depart from this conscious dimension because they grew old and their conscience couldn't take on any more than what they had learned, and then it's time for you to leave. And they grow old and leave. But what about one day in Corinthians 15, when we're all living in both consciences, and we come to a point to where that we decide to live in the subconscious more so than the conscience, and this dimension just kind of goes away for us, and we live in the subconscious, which is a real person, just as real as the conscience, more real than the conscious, because it takes everything that you're going through and builds it into you by revelation, by understanding, by love, by all these things. So we're moving through this conscience and subconscious, and the subconscious is building and building and building and building. It's going to be greater than the conscience, much greater than the conscience. And you know what we're going to do? Death, the conscience, is going to be swallowed up in victory, the subconscious. And we are going to live in the subconscious, in a world, and millions go there every year, and millions are born into the world of consciousness everywhere, coming from their mother's womb, and millions leave because their conscience can't take any more, and they go away, and they move into the subconscious, and they're still here, they're still alive, they're still, but they're living in that subconscious, and here we are, and we're living in both, and we understand we're living in both. I understand my memory, my conscience, my affection, my imagination. I understand everything about myself. I'm living in both. And I am feeding constantly that subconscious because I want to walk out of here. I want to walk out of here in a way that I'm still right here and be living right here and be helping you still, but be in my subconscious 100% of the time. I don't have to disappear to do that. We have the revelation now. We have the understanding to do that now. And I know that I am more in my subconscious than I am in my conscience. And I just want to become more and more and more that way all the time. Until every word I say to you is coming from revelation, a subconscious, a being that has walked past the conscious world. Amen. Love bless you. Moving from oneness to unity, it will take you to unbelievable places. Walk this journey through conscience to the subconscious, to the oneness, and to the unity that's here. Love you with all my heart. Jesus Christ, we come to you and we thank you for what you did. I know that I'm a part of you. And my conscience has moved you from a cross into my subconscious. And you are real right here. And it's me. I am not another person. I am you. And I understand this with my subconscious. And my conscious world is still collecting and collecting and collecting more evidence. But I want to feed out. I want everything that comes out of me to be from that revelated subconscious person. I want every one of you to do the same. I want us to come together and dwell in unity, no matter who the person is, no matter who the race is, no matter who the group is, come to a unity to understand all things. Thank you, and we say these things in your precious name. Amen. Love bless.